All right, this is the fourth episode of Not Half Bad's second season.
Back from a bye week.
Yes, we took a little time. We healed up our injuries. And I think I feel stronger. You know, I feel like I'm ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Not Half Bad is the podcast covering St. John's and Rutgers basketball's rise to at least competence. I'm Norman Rose of RumbleInTheGarden.com. I cover St. John's. You can find me at RumbleInTheGarden.com on the SB Nation Network. And you can find me at RumbleSBN or eCoastBias for my more personal tweets.
And I'm Dave White from OnTheBanks.com. I cover Rutgers basketball for the aforementioned OnTheBanks.com. You can find me at Dave_White.
And as an aside, I suppose we should probably plug the fact that if you have questions or comments or things that you'd like to have answered, you can reach us at NotHalfBadPod@gmail.com. That's all one word, NotHalfBadPod. 2 weeks, I think? 2 weeks until, like, the
preseason exhibition games. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks until the exhibition games. So there's not necessarily a lot of factual stuff to talk about, just a lot of speculation, a lot of conjecture, a lot of hope. But for both the American Conference and the Big East, both teams held their media days this week. The Big East's was on Wednesday, and the American's was Tuesday, right?
I think they're both the same day.
Oh, maybe it was Wednesday. See, you know, with the American Conference being the American Conference, it's hard to know when they're doing anything. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, and you're in Chicago, so everything's like an hour earlier anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Where was the American Conference's media day? Was it in Memphis?
It was in Memphis. Lots of barbecue. All the media guys were who got to go were kind of happy.
That's interesting. It's got to be so weird for guys from, let's say, New Jersey and Connecticut to, instead of, you know, swinging into New York, into the Garden, to sort of big scene, you go to Memphis.
Yeah, it seems weird. Like, you know, they used to just, they hold it on a day, everybody would kind of drive in from Rutgers or UConn and then be back. Now this seemed like a bigger event. They were you had to fly in. It's like a 2 or 3 day event instead of just a couple of hours in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it was a little weird, I guess, just watching on Twitter, the reporters and some of the players and stuff tweet about going to Memphis.
Do you feel like there was less exposure because it wasn't in New York?
That's a tough question. I was looking for it, so I felt like it was exposed to me.
Okay.
But
it seems like your guys did a good job. Jerry Carino, I think, was on the scene, right? And he was writing a bit?
Prunty was there. Carino, I think, was at Big East Day.
Okay.
Yeah. So Brendan Prunty was there. He was tweeting about it. But conference media days are always weird to me because it's your beat reporters covering the whole conference instead of just your team.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rutgers has their team media day, I think, this Tuesday or Wednesday. So you'll get a lot more information about, you know, the team you're looking for instead of hearing about Larry Brown's recruiting prowess or, you know.
How he doesn't tweet. I think there was something about right. how he's like, I don't know. I don't know about this Twitter. I know he doesn't talk like that.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of like that Super Bowl week, the press day,
mm-hmm.
where just random people are asking questions that don't even – and, you know.
But without the Mexican female reporter in the booty shorts and the, you know, and the things hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Though, you know, I feel like she's really upping her craft.
Yeah, she's working on it. Every year she gets a little bit better.
Yeah, I think so too. So now back to the media day. Anything interesting come out of American Conference Media Day? Where did Rutgers end up being ranked in the preseason poll or the preseason picks?
They were picked, surprisingly, at least to the local media, they were picked 10th. They were picked to finish dead last.
Whoa.
Which I think everybody was kind of surprised about, and people started questioning when the vote was taken.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was taken before Okoro and Moore were made eligible mm-hmm. because – but I think, you know, a coach's poll, how much thought are they putting into this? Oh, Rutgers went through a major turnover over the summer or, you know.
They're probably thinking about the Mike Rice incident.
The Mike Rice stuff and saying, okay, they're going to finish 10th and it's Rutgers, you know. So I was kind of surprised by the 10th pick, but it is what it is.
You know, sometimes the coaches don't even do the voting, really. They have interns or, people, the underlings who are doing it. So it's, I mean, at the Big East Media Day, Buzz Williams made some comment, and I forget the exact framing of it, but he basically said, and who votes for this stuff anyway? And somebody's like, you do. It's like, I've never voted. And you're like, okay. Don't lift that veil, Buzz. Don't lift the veil.
Right. So they were picked 10th, and that's kind of like a lot of what, Eddie and Miles Mack and Wally Judge were the player representatives, what they talked about a lot of, and how it is what it is, and we'll just use it for motivation and use it to get better kind of thing. And it doesn't, saying all the right things. It doesn't matter where you pick at the beginning. It's where you pick that, where you finish at the end, that sort of thing. So
when the actual games count and the work that you put in the off season actually pays off on the court. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the big things. I found it interesting in terms of the American Media Day that Rick Pitino waited a day or two until after Media Day to suspend Shane Bohannon for, ever. Mm-hmm. But, so he had not much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And kind of keep the distraction away.
Mm-hmm. That is very interesting. Do you think that's going to be a significant issue for Louisville or not?
Shane Bohannon, I guess it's because they're Louisville and I follow Rutgers, has always been a beast against Rutgers. So to me, it's a big loss, but I'm sure the way they recruit, and I don't know anywhere near enough about their team, mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll just fill in the holes with what's his name? Montrezl.
Hey, yep, Montrezl Harrell and Stephen Ventris, however you pronounce his first name.
Yeah, so,
honestly, I don't think that... I think there are two interesting things going on here. One, that Rick Pitino has been, for years, very willing to publicly call somebody out as if they've done the worst thing ever and they're going to leave the team. And then, eventually they work their way back into their good graces. I think Edgar Sosa took a couple of those hits. That guy, Derek Character.
Derek Character is the one he banished.
Yeah, but that took a few banishments before he, finally went for good. That's really interesting considering that Shane Bohannon is a guy who has a real NBA future as an undersized power forward. So, we'll see how this all turns out, but, Montrezl Harrell is a damn beast.
He's a good player, yeah.
So, I don't know, I think that's sort of a luxury that Pitino has, that he can be like, oh yeah, you're acting a fool in practice, you're not doing your work, you're not doing what it takes to become the best and for us to repeat, we've got this guy. So, why don't you move out of the dorms, go find yourself a job, do a Stanley Robinson. You remember that when UConn banished Stanley Robinson for a semester?
Oh, that's right.
In like a welding factory or something?
Yes,
like that.
Yeah. And then he came back and there was all the, feel-good stories about how he worked with his hands for a year and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah,
These are good lessons, too, for players. Not even if you're great, not everything should be deserved. And it's great to have a basketball coach with enough power and security that they can say, just go.
Right. So, yeah, those were the interesting things, like, this week that came out Media Day. It seemed like with Rutgers, a lot of the press were focusing on, Eddie Jordan getting his degree and trying to put the pieces back together. And Eddie's kind of been on the quiet side. He's not the bluster and confidence of Mike Rutgers. He basically says winning is always part of the equation, and I don't know how long it's going to take, but we'll get it done, that sort of thing. Whereas Mike Rice was like, we're going to win fast, and like that blustery, angry confidence. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit different. There's not as many quotes to read into and parse. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm surprised that with all the stuff that went on last year, Jordan and his rebuilding the team isn't a bigger national story. Mm-hmm. That at least the beat reporters around weren't at least interested in it. So I tend to wonder if that's how much Eddie had to say and the players had to say, mm-hmm. rather than the beat guys asking about it. But I searched around. I couldn't find many articles on it at all because I was trying to do a, just kind of gather as many. Yeah. A roundup. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, that's going to be you. You're going to have to write about the incredible rebirth of Rutgers basketball.
Right, but not even that. Just kind of like more. I could see a lot of articles about picking up the pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see people using that as their theme for Media Day, and didn't seem that it was either that interesting or that they were that willing to talk about it.
Yeah, and there's the Average White Band song. How do you not use Pick Up the Pieces? Anyway.
So, but what about Big East Media Day?
Sure, yeah. So at the Big East Media Day, I think there was a lot of talk about rebirth and about being, you know, teams feeling rejuvenated. I think a lot of the players and coaches seem to indicate that the additions of Creighton, Butler, and Xavier weren't necessarily a downgrade. Now, I will openly say that's not really true. You know, when you lose Louisville and Rutgers, I mean, that's a I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there.
Sorry. I was trying to figure out if you were being serious there, because you were delivering that with a very straight face.
The utmost authority.
And I'm like, yeah, well, losing Louisville kind of did hurt. Why are you lumping Rutgers in there?
Oh, just because I can. no, losing Louisville and losing
Syracuse and Pittsburgh.
Syracuse and Pittsburgh and Notre Dame. That's kind of an interestingly big blow, and it really plays out in the first national rankings, the USA Today coaches poll, where only Marquette was ranked, and I think they were ranked 17th. The other teams that received votes were Georgetown, Creighton, and Villanova. And that's fine that there are other teams that didn't receive votes, but it's very interesting that there's only one ranked team. That says a little something about the league and about where and how it's regarded.
Yeah,
and I mean, I think there's a deeper thing to say about Georgetown and what they do, and I almost wonder if there isn't a hangover effect from their, you know, first round knockout and loss of Otto Porter. Honestly, I think Georgetown will be pretty much the same team. You know, they'll have a little less punch, maybe they'll move a little quicker. And they'll divide the shots a little bit more, but they certainly have the same talent where they can be like a top 20 team. It's not, you know, whatever. But that's an aside. So yeah. So the big stories, I would say, were that feeling of rebirth and the new relationship with Fox Sports One.
Yeah, they were kissing Fox Sports' butt, weren't they?
Yep. Hey, you gotta kiss the ring that saved you.
Because, that's right.
I mean, that it really is a significant save that Fox Sports had, and it's great that they're interested. But it also means that there's some pressure on the Big East to perform in a way that that people will want to watch.
Yeah, I think. If you're building through a new sports network that kind of saved you, you better have some competitive games early on. I mean, you're looking at – it's almost like Big East 2.0, like how they had those huge games back in the early 80s that kind of put them on the map. They're going to need something like that again, whether it's – you know, even if it's Creighton, Xavier having like a knockdown, drag them out, double overtime game in a tournament or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's going to – garner your attention. Of course, a St. John's or Georgetown being very good is going to help.
In terms of teams that are stepping up, now that I think about it, I actually don't have much on Providence and what they had to say. But certainly for St. John's, there's been a lot of talk about how the players seem to understand that they did not shoot very well last year. But they all feel that the few changes that were made will really help the team. You know, there were comments, both at Big East Media Day and St. John's Media Day about the versatility of Orlando Sanchez, you know, the kind of guy who can give you 8 rebounds one game. He can give you 8 assists the next game. You know, he can take some shots the next game, and how Rishie Jordan's ability to break players down on his own will mean more open shots for the other players. Sir Dominic Poynter said that he's been concentrating on making shots. D'Angelo Harrison indicates that he and Phil Green feel like they're better shooters. D'Angelo's lost some weight.
Oh.
There's a lot of hope around St. John's and a lot of confidence. And I think Lavin's really good at building that level of confidence in players. And that does mean something.
Yeah, I'm looking at some Lavin quotes now. I'm going to change the subject just a little bit in terms of what he said and get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. He was asked about RPI and scheduling out of conference. Mm-hmm. And he kind of said, you know, they're going to have to learn how to schedule as they go.
Yes.
But what do you think about that? Do you think they're going to have to schedule some big name teams to keep their RPIs up, or is the Big East strong enough going forward?
It's hard to say. I think one of the problems right now is that in the preseason poll, you know, again, only Marquette is ranked.
Right.
And that means something for RPI and for the perceived strength of schedule, which then does something for your actual strength of schedule. You know, a lot of these things are built on perceptions. Rankings, generally, you know, if you don't think that Rice is very good, but it turns out that Rice is like the toughest, like 20-10 team in the country.
Right.
I mean, what does it mean if you play them once or twice, you know?
Yeah.
Not that Rice is in either conference, but you get my position. My point.
Well,
it's sort of like a team that you've never, that you don't know about and you don't think you know about. And then you're like, wow, UCF is really tough.
Right.
What does
right.
it mean unless, you know, the voters in the AP and the coaches poll actually recognize that, you know?
With maybe not the American so much this year because they have Louisville, but with the Big East, parity is almost going to be hurtful.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I mean, you know what? I think about how the Pac-10 in recent years, the recent, like, you know, 3 or 4 years, they've had this struggle where they have a number of teams that are actually very solid, but that none of them are spectacular. You know, you don't have Arizona leading the pack as they did around like 2002, whatever.
Right.
You don't have, you know, the ultra talented UCLA that always gets a high ranking and then would kind of fall back. Let's not talk about that. and you don't have, what was that other team? You know, like USC would sometimes have like, you know, would have a good year or two.
Right.
And without a leader, without a standard bearer, there's nobody to knock off to really grab the attention of the country. But when
yeah.
you have a lot of good teams, you know, the Atlantic 10 has a bit of this too. When you have a lot of good teams, it means that your records are going to be interesting. You've got like, you know, the Pac-10 would have teams with like 12-6 records. And you'd be like, I'm not sure, but I think that Cal is good, but I cannot tell.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, is Colorado good or are they Pac-10 good? You know, it's,
yeah.
it's you end up with a weird relative problem, you know, without a leader, you know?
Right. Right. If everybody's beating everybody up and everybody finishes, you know, one team finishes 12 and what are you playing? 18 games, 12-6.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else is in that 8-10, you know, range.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to
differentiate, especially if every game is close. So it actually weakens your league.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like in perception wise.
Yeah. I mean, there are years where, you know, the Missouri Valley and the Atlantic 10 would have those bubble teams that wouldn't, you know, get there. Then they go to the NIT, and, you know, they're solid in the NIT, but what does that mean at the end of the day? You know, the idea is to get your teams to the NCAA tournament. That's where the money comes from, and that's where the money comes back to your conference, and that's where the notoriety comes. It's such a tough thing to do, you know, but it makes for good basketball to have a good parity-laden conference.
Yeah, a parity-laden conference actually makes – it's weird in terms of media perception. Media always wants this good team, this team that blows everybody out. And then you listen, they whine about how, in college basketball, the regular season doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a parity conference, then the regular season does matter.
Yeah.
Because you're beating everybody up and 2 or 3 points here or there can swing the whole league.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, those games where, you know, somebody just has a brain fart. And they take the worst shot you've ever seen, the Roscoe Smith, you know, or where somebody just like accidentally fouls somebody or that just loses their cool. And you can always point to that moment and that makes for a good story in the media and that makes for an interesting conference. But nationally, it doesn't really draw a lot of attention. So I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I have an aside. Something just caught my eye from your and my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
The Topanga got married.
Oh, cool.
And apparently I'm just really confused and drawn in by TV. I actually thought she and...
She has a real name, you know, Danielle Fishel. Let's
yes. Talk. Yeah, but I don't know the other guy's name either.
Okay.
I actually thought they were a real couple, Corey. So I had to click on the article as we're talking. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I was like, wait, what? They're not a real couple? Just my childhood just got shattered.
Wow.
Yeah. Conference media day, folks.
So. I thought that she and Ben Savage were going to do another show, by the way. Like some sort of like adult version of, not adult, but you know what I mean. An updated version of Boy Meets World or something where they're like together and they have kids or something.
Yeah, that's actually why I thought it was happening, because Yahoo, the front page, I have Yahoo Mail, mm-hmm. The front page of Yahoo is half the time, for some reason, is advertising this show that they're putting together. So when I saw Getting Married, I just figured they were, oh, what the hell do I know? that'll teach me to click on links.
Yeah, it will. So back to St. John's. And with that diversion, I will say, this is not half bad. The podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball and Boy Meets World. This is Norman of Rumble in the Garden.
And this is Dave of onthebanks.com, still thinking about Topanga getting married. Anyway.
So one other thing I'll say about St. John's and Media Day is that St. John's was picked fifth, which in a lot of ways is pretty, you know, it is correct given the strengths of the team right now and given what they showed last year. Interesting to see some writers talking about how last season was disappointing, even despite the lack of, the lack of D'Angelo Harrison at the end. But in that fifth ranking, there were two coaches who picked St. John's first. So that means that there are a couple of coaches who picked St. John's way near the bottom, or maybe a few that picked them sixth. Very interesting.
It's wide open there. Mm-hmm. I think looking at the coaches poll, the only consistency is Seton Hall down towards the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And DePaul, which, as we all know, is my sleeper pick.
Yes.
So people are wrong on that one. But, I mean, it's just, if you look at the points up through seven, everybody's close.
Yeah.
The votes, I mean, 74 for Marquette, 70 Georgetown, 61 for Creighton, 58, 56, 41, 38, and then it drops down to 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody kind of has respect up through Xavier.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point. I think that a number of the St. John's players had said, either we need to show it or, they're, they're disrespecting us, kind of comments, but they certainly, felt it about being picked fifth. But in reality, that fifth pick isn't the same as being picked like a clear and present fifth. What people are saying is that there's so much parity in the league that they just feel that, the four teams in front of them are more likely to break through and maintain their strength.
Yeah, you could be anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say that like each one of those teams has a weird X factor. I mean, Villanova, for example, seems like they're returning a lot, but they've got, a few extra guards to integrate, and they've lost Muftau Yaru, who handled the bulk of their defensive rebounding. Danielle Ochefu is supposed to step in there and become, the new, center guy, mm-hmm. but he's mm-hmm. a little shorter, and he just didn't show that much on the defensive glass. How much of that is due to Yaru? Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah, there's so much gelling. I mean, that's the interesting thing about college basketball. And, well, I guess college sports is there's so much turnover year in and year out
mm-hmm.
that, unless you're a Louisville who can just reload, you don't know what you're going to get till almost halfway through the conference season.
Mm-hmm. It should be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very fun for both conferences this year.
Mm-hmm. Did you say that Rutgers has no Midnight Madness coming up this year?
They are not doing a Midnight Madness this year.
Oh, how are they going to recruit anybody? I mean, we don't know who's coming yet for St. John's Midnight Madness, but it is this Friday. And a Red Storm tip-off, actually, is what it's called. And,
oh, okay. I get it now. I'm sorry. I thought you were taking a shot at Rutgers that was going right over my head.
No. When I take a shot at Rutgers, I like it to be direct, and I like to know that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
All right.
Don't you worry. I'll be right up in your grill with it. But yeah, Midnight Madness is coming this year, and I feel like it's a pretty significant and interesting Midnight Madness because you have the excitement surrounding the team that's actually at a full 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the real need for St. John's to draw in a number of interesting players to fill in a recruiting spot. There are at least 3 scholarships available this year. Next year, there's going to be 4 or 5 more. And for St. John's to maintain a strong presence in the Big East, they have to continue to recruit as well as they recruited before. So, you know, Rishi Jordan might stay a year or two. Who knows if he'll, you know, be one and done. I would probably guess not, but we'll see. You know, Jakar Sampson might go, especially if he, as he claims, is going to be taking 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of other players who might try to test the waters. Chris Obekpa, maybe. So without the guys like that, you know, what does St. John's do next year? So you have to keep recruiting, and that's what Steve Lavin's strength is, recruiting and building confidence and building a team and building that kind of cohesiveness.
Yeah, I don't think Rutgers needs a Midnight Madness to recruit. They often
you think the name recruits itself?
No, I'm going to explain that. You know, they have their recruits at football games. Mm-hmm. That's how they do the majority of their recruiting. The visitors come during football season. They go to the games. You know, they'll have recruits in. They'll take in a morning practice with the team or a workout or whatever, and then they'll go to the tailgates and to the football games. So that seems to be how he's doing it. Plus, there's only one open scholarship right now that Rutgers has been kind of hanging on to, because he really filled that 2014 class pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's what – I think he's focusing more on the getting his name out there, building the relationships, since he doesn't have those ties himself, Jordan. Yeah. So I think that's what he's trying to do. He has a 2015 commitment already. So, yeah.
Who's the 2015 commit?
Austin Burnett. He's unranked.
Yes. The guy from Charlotte. That's right, because
we looked him up and – he's apparently a sleeper that's expected to really blow up this year, but mm-hmm.
Austin Burnett. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think they need the Midnight Madness because of that. I don't know if there are any other reasons why they're not doing one. I haven't seen any explanations. I just know they're not doing it this year.
That's cool. I mean, it's also good to not get your players in situations where they could get hurt. A few years ago when St. John's only had 6 players, they had sort of a half-baked Midnight Madness. You know, there was like a couple of dunks and some like kind of shoot around and then some talking, and that was it. I think they even played a scrimmage.
Right. I also don't know if Eddie Jordan could top Mike Rice dancing to Ice Ice Baby from 2 years ago. So with the cheerleaders.
Yes.
So they must have just canceled the whole thing.
It was like, we can't do better than that. You know, it's sort of like one of those Vince Carter dunks that makes you go, yeah, let's just stop doing dunk contests. Because, you know, after that, everything's going to be like, yeah, but did you see that one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know. They're just not doing one this year.
That's cool.
But what they do usually do, and I actually don't know if they're doing it this way this year as well. The first preseason game, the only preseason game, is usually open door.
Mm-hmm.
And open seating. So if you get there early and beat the other 300 people that show up, you could sit pretty close and get kind of listen to like the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, which is actually fun. Yeah, I've gotten the last 2 years and sat right behind the bench and got to hear some
choice
kind of
words.
Like, no, not even choice words, but just some cool strategy and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So hopefully they do that again this year.
Who are they playing in their exhibition?
My other alma mater, Caldwell College.
I thought it was Caldwell. Yeah.
Yeah, they got me my supervisor degree, so I'm torn. My fandom is torn.
No, it's not.
No, it's really not. So, but who St. John's got in their exhibition?
So St. John's has San Francisco State, which is one of Steve Lavin's alma maters. He played at SF State and transferred to Chapman down in Southern California in Anaheim near Disneyland. And the other one is against Humboldt State. So that's the second and the fourth. Oh, I didn't know they were that close together. But yeah, Saturday, November 2nd, and then Monday, November 4th.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, you get 2.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 1. I'll just wait for the real thing.
Yeah, it's fun, though. I like exhibition games. They're it's interesting to see the kind of different combinations and to see how unseriously players take it, even though, you know, the coach is yelling and telling them to be serious. There are things that you're obviously like, you know, you'd probably get benched for that kind of
thing. Right.
we're coming close to the end, But I know that you went to Pearl Jam yesterday. So was it good?
It was really good. Friday and Saturday, I went.
Two nights. Nice.
Two nights in a row. You got to go two nights. You never know. The set list always gets switched up. They're really good. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best two times I've seen them. All right, here's what I'm going to end it with. I got one more. Since we did talk, we talked Topanga. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have you guess. I need you to guess one of the top 20. I'm on Yahoo. One of the top 25 things you don't know about Misha Barton. She wrote an article. She listed 25 things.
So you don't know about Misha Barton.
Yeah, so you got to give me one.
She's half black.
I don't see that. Let's see. Although
25 things you don't know about Misha Barton. She secretly loves to eat.
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see. Is that on there? I don't see it.
How could she not put that on there? She's supposed to counter the fact that she's like skin and bones for her whole life.
Yeah. Here's the closest you got to that. I go to Earth Bar daily for cayenne, lemon, and oregano drink. It burns and I love it.
Okay, that's like a daily cleanse. Dude, ew. That's not cool. You can't do that.
Ugh. Oh, God. I don't know how she's friends. This doesn't even... Oh, I read it wrong. Never mind. It was Marilyn Manson, not Marilyn Monroe.
She's friends with Marilyn Manson?
She says, I'm friends with and a fan of Marilyn Manson, and I read it as Marilyn Monroe. And I'm like, she's 27. That's a creepy... If it was Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, Misha.
And she, and she loves spelling bees.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
She can spell?
She doesn't have to spell. She just could like watching them.
Oh, my God, dude. See, now I'm going to look at this list, too. But this is, this is fantastically interesting.
Oh, Yahoo, you're clickbait...
Oh man!
Headlines.
I wouldn't have clicked on this if not for you. You are the clickbait.
Oh, she's competitive in spelling bees. Yeah.
What? What? Oh.
Well, this has been another episode of Not Half Bad, the Rutgers, St. John's, and Pop Culture Podcast. I'm Dave from onthebanks.com, which covers Rutgers basketball, and you can follow me on Twitter at Dave_White.
This is Norman Rose of Rumble in the Garden. You can follow me at Ecoast Bias personally, or you can follow me the Rumble feed at Rumble SBN. That's RUMBLESBN. Thanks for sticking with us, and we should be back next week. And if you have questions, again, reach out to us at nothalfbadpod@gmail.com, or you can find NHB Pod on Twitter and just tweet us.